Everyone, this is Linda Rennie, the founder and the president of Sanction Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus' ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself.
Hi, this is Joy from Sanction Love, and I wanted to come on here and let you know that the first part of this teaching got cut off a little bit, and it's a teaching called Humility in Leadership. So I wanted to give you a lead in to the teaching. The Lord gave me this teaching for one of our leadership conferences that we had an opportunity to teach at. And it is about Saul becoming Paul. And he gave me this whole picture and it's kind of fun. And so here I go. I'm going to give you the lead in paragraphs that were missing in the original recording so that I can get you caught up to where we're at in the recording. So, as I was praying about this teaching, the Lord showed me a picture of Paul. Well, actually, Saul. I saw Saul as a villain in a spaghetti western, the low-budget films made in Italy during the 1960s and early 1970s. This is not to be disrespectful at all toward the horror that was happening to the Christians back then. It was a time of such persecution, especially by one man, Saul, later known as Paul. Saul, Paul, was an absolute villain. He hated Christians and even delighted in the stoning of them. He was the strong arm, the one who ruled the town. He didn't like them Christians. He was hell-bent on killing them or running them out of his town. He was consistently looking for a showdown. He was full of pride, which led him to believe that he was doing God a favor by getting rid of all them Christians out there. And in doing so, he was defending the God of Israel. Unfortunately, he was only defending the God of self. You see, pride kills destinies. Pride short circuits timelines. And pride destroys. And Saul was full of it. Then I saw Jesus show up like Clint Eastwood in the movie High Plains Drifter. Can you hear the soundtrack in the background? Jesus was standing there on Straight Street on the road to Damascus. So that's where this recording begins. So I just wanted to give you the lead in. So here you go. You can hear the song to the spaghetti westerns.
You gotta put your microphone by the microphone.
Oh. So can you see Jesus riding us? Jesus was standing on Straight Street on the road to Damascus. He was looking at the horizon, and in the distance there came Paul. That Paul. Saul. It was Saul. There came Saul riding on his high horse. All of a sudden, a light shone from heaven.
The light was so blinding that Saul fell off his high horse. Out of fear and astonishment, Saul could not see anyone, but he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul was trembling now, and with stammering lips, he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew that someone with authority, someone greater than him, was talking to him, because he said, "Lord." He was actually talking to the sheriff of heaven and earth, the sheriff over everything. Saul was trembling. Then Jesus said to him, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. It is hard to kick against the goats." So what he was telling Saul at that moment is, "You're a stubborn ox."
True that.
Because goats are typically made from slender pieces of timber, blunt on one side and pointed on the other. Farmers use the pointed end to urge stubborn ox into motion. Foolishly, an ox might kick against the goad, causing himself injury. So he was saying, "Saul, you're a stubborn ox. You're trying to kick against me?
Yeah.
Really?" Saul was shaking in his sandals now. He was terrified. He asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" It was then that Jesus gave him his first assignment. Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Even when we kick against God, even when we kick against him, him who is humility, He's saying, "I'm going to give you an assignment."
Come on, Joanna.
That's right.
Amazing. He's something.
Because he humbled himself. In that moment, when he heard the Lord, if there was an action, God had to really put the fear of God in him. But coming down from a high place to a low place, that's where you can hear your assignment.
Yeah,
good.
So good.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Hear it. So good.
So Jesus said to him, "Go into the city, and you will be told what to do." Saul needed to go and wait for instruction, and someone had to lead him. Because he could not see. Pride blinds.
Yeah.
And so it was a physical picture of a spiritual condition.
Yeah.
He was blind.
Yeah.
It was a physical picture of a spiritual condition. His eyes are blind.
Yeah.
And God didn't fix that right away. He could have just blinded him by just showing up. But Paul remained blind for a while. There was humility that needed to be woven into him.
Yeah,
very good.
That was so good.
Someone had to lead him because he could not see. This was very humbling.
Yeah.
Saul was knocked off his high horse of pride that day. And God humbled him. Saul could not see because of the blinding light. God gave him a visual, or not so visual picture, because he couldn't see. Pride blinds us. But when we humble ourselves, we can be led into a safe place.
That's good.
God made sure he was led into a safe place.
So good.
Because when you look at when Saul became Paul, he was not in very safe places. Mm-hmm. But God gave him a safe place to learn about him in a correct way. Mm-hmm. Not that I have to defend the God of Israel. Not that I have to defend the God of Israel. But I need to sit at his feet and learn. And when you read the New Testament, most of Paul's writings were done in prison. Mm-hmm. In hellish conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he talks about joy in the midst of it. He talks about not being anxious for anything. He talks about the armor of God.
Yeah.
Here, he was taking an armor of self when he was Saul, and he was using that armor to kill Christians. But then he wrote about the armor of God. And everything changed.
Yeah.
And I was just loving that teaching yesterday because it's like everything, I just wanted to point out, all these teachings, we didn't sit with each other to plan this. This is all planned by the Holy Spirit. And everything has been layered for you. So, God himself had to humble Saul so he could position him as Paul. It is better for us to fall on the rock than the rock to fall on us. Just like, ask Paul. So I want to tell you that, you know, God's been really working with me with humility. Because sometimes I'm very naughty. And he's rooting out opinion. And he's rooting out. And it comes from identity. It comes from not feeling that you're enough. And so with that, it's like this thing that you have to protect yourself. Like, you have to have your opinion, or you have to have your butt. And so this was me when I was little. I was like, with my mom, but I always had to get the last word in. So in Hawaii, we wore slippers, you know, those rubber slippers. And I was doing the butt with my mom. And she, oh my gosh, it would just send her off. And, you know, she's this Portuguese wild woman. And she's standing there with the slipper. And she said, "You say one more word, joy, and I'm gonna hit you and I'm gonna fling the slipper at you." And I'm like, "But!" And all of a sudden, and she has horrible aim. All of a sudden, she flung that slipper and went right in my mouth. And she was like, wow, she was so proud of herself. The Lord was reminding me of that picture with my mom, and he spoke this to me. He said, "I don't walk. Watch you walking with a slipper in your mouth.
Okay.
I want you walking in the gospel of peace with humility." And he showed me, when he showed me that, he came next to me and he goes, "I want you to walk with humility." And he grabbed my hand. He's humility. He wants us to walk with him. And to become great leaders, we have to first become servants. And we have to walk in humility with one another. Because humility always honors. It always loves. It always encourages. It always stands back to celebrate who is with you and who is amongst you, who God has placed with you as a team and as a leader in their own call within that team and to your leaders, the ones, the apostolics who go and pray over you, who cry and weep over you, who how can I help? Who brings you strategies for your side, for the field that you're going into. Humility bows down. Humility is an essential ingredient for leaders. And like I said, you must be a servant. Humility, by the world's definition, often implies diminished confidence. However, humility in the Bible means getting your confidence from God.
Yes.
That's
right. So
awesome.
Who loves and values. I want you to hear who loves and values you. Mm-hmm. It's just so beautiful. He's so beautiful. Biblical humility means believing what God says about you over anyone else's opinion, including your own.
Yes. Come on.
That's good.
Humility requires embracing. I mean, we embrace one another, but we tend, and I am like the worst, and I thank God I have a team who says, stop it. Do you know how worth you are? Do you know you're a diamond? Do you know that you're a princess? And I need my team because I get in my mind. Right? We get in our mind. And God's trying to say through them and through him when he's speaking to you in those places, you're worth it. My blood says you're worth it.
Yes. Come on.
My blood has the essence of humility running through it.
Yeah.
So in humility requires embracing who you are in Christ over who you are in the flesh. And that is like, gosh, when God's working this perfect place in us, and it can be really messy, and it can be really fleshy, and it can be just horrible. I mean, when you're dying, it's kind of lousy and yucky, but it produces a good work of service to Jesus, a good work of service to one another, and a good work of service to yourself, because for me, that lack of confidence or that lack of self-worth, when I am listening to the Holy Spirit and he's telling me who I am, when I'm reading it in his word and he's telling me who I am, talk about elevation, seated right next to him in heavenly places. Oh my gosh! Above it all! Humility raises you up into elevation. To lead with humility, we first need to know how God values us, which I just said, and have our confidence in him. Leading with humility is a mark of maturity Pride, on the other hand, is like a demanding two-year-old. It's immature. It throws tantrums.
Yeah.
It wants its own way and moves in comparison. Johnny has more toys than me. And pride bullies.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
It bullies people, especially if they don't do what pride wants.
Yeah.
Pride is so ridiculously jealous.
It is, yeah.
It manipulates, controls, blinds,
yep.
And hinders peace.
Yes.
Yes.
Mom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pride is so immature.
Absolutely. Yes.
Boom.
But for God.
Yeah.
But for God.
Yeah.
Humility loves.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It is the prize crown to lay at the feet of Jesus. It moves with all the luscious fruit of the Spirit. It encourages one another. It sees the gold in each one of you, and it calls it out. Humility is the poster child of the cross of Jesus.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Underline that, guys.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That is good. Underline. Highlights.
Say it again, just to hear it in the spirit.
Yeah.
Humility is the poster child of the cross of Jesus.
Yeah.
So then I want to talk to you about Joseph and his brothers. Okay. This story is pretty light. It was so exciting. I can't wait to get to the end. One day Joseph told his brothers what he had dreamed. And they hated him. They hated him even more. They were already jealous of him, do you know? Joseph said, "Let me tell you about my dream." He's all excited. "We were out in the field, lined up on bundles of wheat. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles gathered around me." They, I don't know, yeah, okay. I'm not going to interject whether he was in crying about it, but I think he was, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Possibly.
Wisdom would say that.
His brothers asked, "Do you really think you're going to be king and rule over us?" Now they hated him even more. Because of what he had said about his dream. See how it's just like so naughty. Joseph later had another dream and he told his brothers, Listen to what else I dream. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's funny.
They all backed down. Oh my gosh. And he's like, Listen. And even, and the sun, the moon, 11 stars bowed down to me. When he told his father, now listen to this, about his dream, his father became angry.
Yes.
And said, "What's that supposed to mean? Are your mother and me and your brothers all going to come and bow down to you?" Joseph's brothers, see how, I mean, this is what got Satan kicked out of heaven.
Yeah.
He just got kept getting more anger and rage,
yeah.
And just that pride starts building in it, and it causes you to, it causes murder in your heart,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cain and Abel,
yeah.
And all the way to the garden.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept wondering about it. Thank God we have fathers in our lives that wonder about the call in your life.
So Lord,
and our Father in heaven who knows the call on your life.
Yes.
So later in the story, it talks about Joseph's brothers become jealous, oh yeah, and abandoning him in a well. They took him in, they put him in there, and then they took him back out because one of them was really feeling bad. And instead of killing him, leaving him to die, one was like, we gotta take him out. Why? They sold him.
Make some money instead.
Take the money, Dad. He'll love us better.
By their stake in it, their money.
Yep. So they sold him to slave to an Ishmaelite. Now this is, you know, it kind of caught me. The promise was Isaac.
Yeah.
And Ishmael.
That's so good.
So it said they sold him to an Ishmaelite.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So Joseph was a promise for his time.
Yeah.
But they sold him to the not promise.
Right.
To an Ishmaelite. Yeah. But, you know, God always has bigger plans than that.
See that?
So later in the story, okay, so blah, blah, blah. Joseph went through ups and downs. Oh, gosh. He went through ups and downs in Egypt, but God gave him favor. And he became governor over Egypt. God showed him a famine was coming, so Joseph prepared for the famine by storing up grain in the abundant years. You got a Joseph with you. See, you got to see who you are. Because they're going to bring multiplication on your team.
Yeah.
It's good.
So, that is what humility does. It serves and multiplies during harvest. And sustains through famine.
Yeah.
Remember the dream? Those that betray or hurt you, those who are rejecting Christ, will be moved by your humility. Mm-hmm. And the bowed down sheaves will come into a full harvest.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Joseph led in humility and forgiveness. That was a huge thing. Can you imagine my brother BB put me in it? Well, took me out because they didn't want me to die right then. But then they sold me to get me out of their life. What kind of betrayal and rejection is that?
Wow.
And it was a picture of Jesus. The betrayal and rejection of him.
Yeah.
But yet, forgiveness came. And I can feel like all through those years, even in the prison cell and coming out, being an elevated position, that he was thinking about his brothers and his family.
Yeah.
And his father, and saying, no matter what they did for me, I'm going to make sure they're taken care of. I don't, and he didn't even know how that was going to happen.
Right.
But he had faith for that.
Yeah.
He had faith for restoration.
Yes.
And he would be able to give in the restoration.
Yes.
To give on top of a restoration, that is a double portion.
Yes. Right. Okay. Humility.
And so humility. Humility brings the holiness of God and the fear of the Lord front and center.
Yeah.
Humility is a neon sign of God's character. God always leads with humility. Scripture says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Philippians 2:3. He also showed me a picture of that. So we were talking about something about donkeys. He said, God will use anything to speak to us and to bring us low. He will even use mass. Mm-hmm. He will speak through a donkey.
That's right.
To bring you in your asinine.
Come on, sis.
To bring you low.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
To bring you humble. Because if a donkey can speak to you and God can use a donkey to prophesy, then whoa. You better lower yourself. So, how do we lead with humility, leaders? We're all leaders in here. Put others in the forefront.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes.
Listen.
Listen.
Encourage. Teach with an attitude of learning.
Yeah.
Speak the truth in love.
Yes.
There's sometimes we have to confront.
Yes.
And it's hard. And it's I say, no, I want to just run. Can you just take care of that, God? Just you can speak through a donkey to them. He goes, yeah, I'm using you. Serve with joy and lead forth with peace.
Come on.
Pray always.
Yes.
Be a cheerleader.
Yes.
And it's like I like to use this all the time, like Linda says, from the sideline of their games.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
From the sideline of their fields.
Right.
Cheer them on. Call out the gold in them. There's gold in each one of you.
Yes.
And when you bring it into the pile, there's a big storehouse for the kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
And a harvest is coming in from the gold that's called out in you. Being humble is a posture of seriousness. It is also a very, very, very approachable.
Yeah. So good.
Jesus was always approachable.
Yes.
He carries so much authority.
Yeah.
And people could have had, you know, in the Catholic, you know, it's right, they venerate everything. And they made, you know, being raised, I learned so much.
Yes.
I learned the fear of the Lord. I learned how sacred God is and his name. But I also had to deal with, you know, everything's an idol. And they made God so unapproachable. Like, you can't talk to you. The Bible's on your coffee table, this huge Bible, you know, with pictures in it.
Yeah.
And but Jesus was always approachable. He kneeled down with the children. He took mud and spit on it. He did all these beautiful, crazy ways of humility. He did it. And he showed love. He showed, I'm a God that loves you. I'm a friend of your whole being. I want to sit with you. I want to go to pigsties with you.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to cry with you. That's humility. And that's how he wants us to be with one another. When we're in a pigsty, let's go. Let's go and pull someone out. Even if we smell like a pig and we're ready, we need to pull them out. If someone's brokenhearted, we need to cry with them and wrap our arms around them like the Holy Spirit comforts us. We need to do. And when they're being elevated
when they're being put to the forefront and all eyes, because God wants eyes on them because they have something to say and they have something to do, instead of, oh man, they do it this way and I don't do it that way. And instead of that, you're on the sidelines. Come on! So have fun serving one another. Mm-hmm. Have fun serving God. Let's serve each other with love and lead with humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, that's what we are here, is because we're all united in Christ. If any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind, do others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset. Listen to this. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Don't be a Saul. Be a Paul. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jesus. His name is humility. Your crown of humility, I'm going to say it again, is the greatest crown that you will lay at the feet of Jesus. Only through humility were you able to receive salvation.
Wow. Yeah, right?
So good.
So good.
So
good.
You're the best.
I think we should give her a standing
ovation. In Jesus, I'm going to humble myself. This is my favorite. I have what?
10 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we're going to give a key out. So, a lot of you men in this room have received keys.
Yes.
Maya, do you have the evangelist key with you right now? I was going to do, I just want to kind of do really quick. God, he downloads things into me, and I think, like I told you guys last night, I'm going to do it now. And so there's one part of what was going to be this teaching that God said, no, I want you to wait. So, and it's for the men of TLG. God's going to bring you together at a later date, and you're going to get, it's called a band of brothers, and you're going to get a colored band, and I just have to say, Jenny, your band is orange. This happened months ago. He's on the move.
Yeah.
And it really blessed my heart, because you guys have your challenge coins. And the teaching he gave was about a military kind of thing of a band of brothers coming together in as a brigade, as a battalion, that you would die for one another. So in the fullness of God's time, I will teach on that, and you guys will get your bands. So,
I love that you said that, in the fullness of God's time.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So,
would you get this?
And can we bring this chair right to the middle? This is a big deal, people. And I want everyone to come in to honor and humility with this. When I gave keys, when I gave keys out to the men, what? How long ago was that?
Was in 2020.
Yeah, there was a key for an evangelist, but the evangelist hadn't come yet. An evangelist is here today because God brought him in the fullness of time, and because he is. He's so, God is highlighting him today because he's saying, son, Jeremy, come sit in your rightful position.
Yes.
So you're going to get a key. Maya, and the Lord showed me this about you, Jeremy. You know, everyone's saying, where's my mantle? Well, I'm just going to tell you your mantle, but then it's not written yet. But, okay, where's my glasses?
Right behind the yellow thing.
Okay.
Let me know.
So, he wants me to just read this really quick over you. He calls you Philip.
Wow.
God's going to translate you. He's going to have you in one place speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch. And in a moment's time, he's going to put you somewhere else because he needs you there quickly. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. You know, he's starting. You've been in a desert place, and he starts with a desert place to bring you into position. And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated on his chariot. So we know how the story goes. The Ethiopian eunuch is searching Isaiah, and it was Isaiah 53, which talks about our Savior, Jesus. This is a profound prophecy about Jesus being beaten, being all kinds of stuff. It gave pretty, you know, graphic details about who our Savior is. So Ethiopian eunuch is reading the story, and all of a sudden Philip's on the scene. And Philip says, I can tell you about this man. I can tell you about the man that is God in the flesh. I can tell you about him. And so he did. And then he baptized him. And that's what a call that's on your life is. You're gonna go, it says that Philip is a lover of horses. You're gonna follow chariots. You're gonna follow horses. There's some that need to be knocked off of it, like Paul. And there's some that are just strolling through, and they need to hear a Philip tell them all about Jesus. And that's who you are. And I'll give you this so you can read that. Yeah, it's not your complete mantle, but you'll get one. So I would love all the men of TLG to kind of come up here. Maya, you're going to go in the front with the sword. We're going to knight him into his relational position.
Wait, Joy, do you want just a table men? Or all the men?
All the men. Because I want a blonde to stand behind Maya. So all the men come up here. And... Maya,
him his key first. And you can, Brian can hold the sword for you.
Watch the fan over your head.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Somebody could actually ignite it.
This is the key of an evangelist, and it's a key to a gate. And I'll go through all the gates when we come together again, but it's his key. Okay, go ahead. You take it from here with the Holy Spirit.
You read the verse? Read that over again?
Yes.
2 Timothy 4. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of a minister. The Holy Spirit is bringing together the function in which he gave you a vision to shift and change the institution of the church back to the New Testament. You are part of that function. You're functioning as someone who loves the lost like no one else. You'll be functioning in an area that is so much required. In the church, in the ecclesia, in the assembly, but also within this team. You're beginning to complete what God has ordained.
Yes.
And you're destined. You are part of that completion. And so, I'm not going to chop your head off. But I will do the prophetic act. Commission to the office of evangelist.
Wow.
Whoa.
Amen.
Father God, I thank you so much for my brother.
Yes.
I thank you, God, for what you have gifted him and what you have destined within him to be birthed in such a time as this. And what is going to come forth is going to be a harvest of many nations.
Yes.
We are going to see through his heart and through his humility the effort done, not by his own strength, but by your Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
And Father, Lord, we will see you bring to the full measure of maturity,
yes.
Your church,
yes,
as you represented here on this earth, and what we are called to be ambassadors for you. And so, Father, I pray that he receives this mantle, he receives this mission,
yes,
in humility, in love, and may it bring him peace and understanding of who he is,
yes,
and what he is supposed to do,
yes,
for you, and only through you.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray as he remains in you, that he will bear much fruit.
Yes. Yes.
And Lord, I pray that you prune the branches that are bearing much fruit, so they will bear even more fruit in him,
yes,
as he grows in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're gonna do it in one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I thought she was gonna stay with Jenny. Okay.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God. So you guys, get ready for part two.
Enjoy. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Can't wait.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. So we made a schedule adjustment. It is 10:02 or something like that. You have brunch until 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes. Please be
5 minutes.
please be prompt, because Ron and Donna are going to be speaking at 11, and I would really like them to start on time, so please make sure you give yourself time to bathroom, do whatever you need to do before we start our session at 11 sharp. So, I guess kitchen needs 5 minutes, so whatever you need to do.
Okay, wait. If they have 5 minutes, I need 5 minutes.
But
they have to be in
there. Thank you for listening to the Sanctioned Love Podcast. Our desire is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Please check us out on our website, sanctionlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.